Hey, Pastor Stephen here. Welcome to the Abundant Springs Podcast. If you haven't already, be sure to check us out online at abundantsprings.church and on Facebook at facebook.com/abundantassembly. And now, on to this week's message.
When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each one of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonder of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?"
Well, let's come together. I want you to imagine what we just heard right there. Imagine that day in Pentecost. You're in town for a festival when suddenly there's this great commotion. And so you run to see what it's about. There's shouting and there's noise everywhere. And you see people are starting to run out of these buildings and they're going to where this noise is. And then you see these 120 people that are speaking loudly in various languages. But here's the crazy part. Is you look at these people and you recognize them and where they're from. They're from this small little backwater town where the people there can't even speak their own language properly. Their accent is thick and they're uneducated. And here they are speaking fluently in all these other languages. And some people in the crowd, they start to laugh and they make fun of these drunks. "It's a little early in the morning to be drinking," they scoff. Some people in the crowd, as it's gathering, people from all over the world, from every corner of the known world, they start to exclaim, "That guy there is speaking in my native language. That guy there is speaking in my language from my town, and he's glorifying and praising God." How can that be? What can it be? What could it mean? This here is what we're going to be looking at today as we start walking through the book of the Acts of the Apostles together. And over the next 5 weeks or so, we're going to be going through this book and we're going to be seeing how the church started, how it spread throughout the world, and what it means for us today and how we are to respond. Will you pray with me this morning? Heavenly Father, this day, this Pentecost day, I just ask that you will build us up in courage, Lord. Lord, that you will help us as we examine these things that can be strange to our Western ears, our modern ears, where we are so prone to write things off as being explained in the natural, and yet today we're going to talk about the supernatural God. Lord, please just open our hearts, open our minds to these things. Let us hear them willingly and be open to what you want to do in us today. Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit will be whispering to people's hearts and minds, even right now, Lord Jesus. Lord, I thank you for what you're going to do here today, and Lord, I thank you that you're going to take these feeble human words that I'm about to speak, and that you're going to make them something that's actually worthwhile through the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So let's remember what Jesus told the disciples before he left them. This was in the readings from earlier. He said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And then the day of Pentecost happened. And the disciples were together in the upper room, and what Jesus had said was going to happen began. From the upper room, the good news of Jesus began to advance throughout the world to the uttermost parts. And that's why the title of this series is called Advance from the Upper Room to the Uttermost, because we believe here today that we go from the upper room, from experiencing the Holy Spirit, from experiencing God, and then we move out into the outermost parts with the good news of Jesus. See, Spirit-filled people are Spirit-led and Spirit-empowered to advance. What do I mean by that? What I mean is that when the Holy Spirit comes on you and when the Holy Spirit is powerfully within you, that you will then be able to be open up to hearing where the Spirit wants you to go, what He wants you to say, and you receive gifts and courage and strength for ministry from the Holy Spirit. And so I encourage you today that what I just said there, Spirit-filled people are Spirit-led and Spirit-empowered to advance. Mark that down in your notebook here today, or if you've got your mobile device open and you have the free YouVersion Bible app there, you can follow along with our sermon notes in that and take your notes down as well there. Spirit-filled people are Spirit-led and Spirit-empowered to advance. Today, as we're talking about being filled with the Spirit, or as it's sometimes called, being baptized in the Spirit, I understand today that I am not talking about the Holy Spirit's work in our lives when we first give our lives to Jesus. Okay, I think there's often a misunderstanding with some people that when we as charismatics or Pentecostals, those who believe that the Holy Spirit is still at work in our lives today and that the supernatural is still going on today, when we talk about being filled with the Spirit, some people are tempted to ask us, well, you know, I haven't had that experience, so do you think that I'm not a Christian? They relate it to salvation, but that's not what we're talking about. When you're saved, the Holy Spirit comes into your life and He transforms you and He begins to make you new. But what we're talking about today is the Holy Spirit coming powerfully, and I mean powerfully, upon your life and filling you and giving you great gifts for ministry, courage for ministry today. Now, I don't know if you're like me, but personally, I want to do what Jesus told me to do, right? Right. And He said that those who follow Him are to go and share the good news of restoration of our relationship with our Creator through Jesus' death and resurrection. And if I'm going to do that, if I'm going to share that message of restoration of relationship, then really I want all the help I can get, right? I want all the help that I can get. If there is help available to me to do what Jesus wants me to do, then I want that help. You with me thus far? See, we can go out there and we can share the good news without all the power of the Holy Spirit in us, without being all fired up, if you will. And many of us will actually do a pretty good job of it, be really effective and do great things. But you see, we'll be missing out on that full power and presence and leading of the Spirit of God. See, if God has made this Holy Spirit available to us, then why would we not ask Him to empower us? Why would we not ask Him for more of Him? Why would we not seek to be as effective as we can be? Why, when we are talking about friends and family and neighbors having a real and vibrant relationship with God, when we're talking about their souls being brought from death to life, when we're talking about an eternity of suffering on one hand or an eternity of wonder in the presence of God in the other hand, then why on earth would we not want all that God desires to give us to help us? See, Spirit-filled people are Spirit-led and Spirit-empowered to advance. The day of Pentecost was the day that Jesus gave His church a great advantage as they advanced into the world to share the victory that Jesus had won over Satan's rule of death. And so let's look a little bit closer at what the Holy Spirit did that day. And the first thing that I think that we need to look at, because it's a bit of a sticky issue with many, is the initial evidence of being filled with the Spirit. Confuses people, freaks people out, and nobody's really sure what to make of it. And so what I'm going to say here, you can do with it what you will, but this is how I have come to terms with what I see in the Bible of when the Spirit comes upon people. What is going to happen when I am filled with the Spirit, and how will I know it happened? To put it simply, when you're filled with the Spirit, there will be a supernatural evidence. There will be a supernatural evidence. See, throughout the book of Acts, that evidence is prophecy and speaking in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gives the ability to do so. In other words, people don't have the Holy Spirit come on them and go, you know what, it would be really interesting if I spoke in another language right now. Or if I told somebody something about themselves that they didn't know right now. No, the Holy Spirit gives the ability. It's not these people just suddenly just realizing that they personally have the ability. In actuality, tongues itself is a form of prophecy. It's speaking words that are inspired by God in a language that one doesn't actually know. If you knew the language, it wouldn't be that impressive, would it? Right? And so, really, the general model of Acts and the rest of the Bible as well is that prophecy is the initial sign of the Holy Spirit coming on a Christian in great power. Words from God are the initial evidence. Now, could it be that there are other supernatural signs? Probably. I think so. Famous preacher D.L. Moody once described having spent much time crying out and asking God that God would fill him with the Holy Spirit when suddenly one day he experienced it for himself. And this is how he described it. He doesn't describe it as speaking another language or as receiving the gift of prophecy, but he said this: it is almost too sacred an experience to name. I can only say that God revealed himself to me. And I had such an experience of his love that I had to ask him to stay his hand. I went to preaching again. The sermons were no different. I did not present any new truths, and yet hundreds were converted. I would not now be placed back where I was before that blessed experience if you should give me all the world. I think that sometimes we take a little bit too narrow of a view of what God is willing to do in us and how he's willing to use us. I mean, you see, the fact is that when the Holy Spirit fills your life, whether it's prophecy or tongues or just an overwhelming sense of his presence and love, whatever it may be, whether it's a strong boldness to do something that you never, ever would be willing to do, suddenly there will be a powerful evidence, supernatural evidence upon you. Now, that said, as speaking in tongues tends to be the one that people make the big deal about, the big fuss about, and all of that, and since it's the one that, as we read in Acts, that we often see biblically and practically today, and since it's what we see on the day of Pentecost, I want to take a look a little bit more at what tongues is. First thing that I want to share with you is that speaking in tongues is not meaningless. Too often today, we think that when somebody is speaking in tongues, that they're just kind of jibber-jabbering, that there's just a bunch of random syllables that are suddenly coming out of their mouths and that it doesn't actually mean anything. It's just them having this fun little experience with God. But you see, whether it's a heavenly language or an earthly language, something very real is being spoken through you by the Holy Spirit. And you may not understand the words, and it may sound really repetitive to you, but the great thing is it's the Holy Spirit speaking from within you. And the Holy Spirit, being God, kind of knows what God wants you to pray, doesn't he? Yeah. Secondly, tongues can be used missionally. On the day of Pentecost, the disciples were speaking in the languages of the people who were around them. The people who were around them didn't just miraculously receive the gift to be able to understand these random sounds that were coming out of their mouths. No, these 120 people were speaking in all different languages that they had never learned before. This was a great sign to these people around them, and it impacted them deeply as they heard God being glorified in their own native languages. And can I share with you today that this is still happening today? It may not happen all the time, and in our context with everybody pretty much speaking English, it doesn't really happen that we see it today, but there are stories coming back from the mission field of missionaries going out and being confronted by somebody who they don't even know what this guy is saying, and all of a sudden they start to speak into this person's life, and the person understands them. And the people around them are going, you know that guy, he understood you because you were speaking in his language. There have been times where preachers have gotten up to speak in another country, and they've had their translator with them, and as they're speaking, they're looking over at their translator. As you know, if you've ever had something translated, it's like talk for a sentence, wait for a sentence, talk for a sentence, wait. And he realized that the translator wasn't saying anything. And the translator just had these wide eyes and turned to him and said, well, I don't need to translate what you're saying because you're speaking our language right now. See, they can be used missionally.
Tongues are useful for encouraging the church. In 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul wrote to the church of Corinth. He was trying to bring order to that church. See, everybody in that church, they had been receiving these gifts of the Holy Spirit, the ability to prophesy and words of knowledge and tongues and all these different things, interpretation. And they were all jumping on top of each other, trying to use these gifts because they wanted to show everyone that they were better than everyone else. And look how special I am. And it was chaos. And love was absent. And so he brought across these practical guidelines for how the gifts of the Spirit were to be used in gatherings of worship. In other words, church. And he said, when it comes to tongues, this gift can be used during gatherings, but one at a time, so long as there was someone present who had the gift of interpreting tongues. The interesting thing is that he also goes on to say that if you give a message in a tongue, that you should pray that you yourself can interpret that message in tongues. So what we see here is that not only are there people that are gifted for the interpretation of tongues, but if somebody gives tongues a message in tongues and they realize like, whoa, like I spoke and nobody's interpreting right now, they can actually pray and say, God, I know there's an interpreter here, but for some reason they haven't interpreted. And so God, give me the interpretation for this. Let me share this with people so that it can be proper and actually glorify you and honor you. Now, personally, I have been in services where God has spoken to the church through an interpretation. And it's not something of a bygone era. I think sometimes we shut it down a little bit or we worry about it a little bit, but it does happen and it is powerful. When it does, see, we just need to be open to him today. Here's the fourth thing about tongues. Tongues are for powerful personal edification. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 14, "One who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men but to God, for no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit." A little bit later, he says, "The one who speaks in a tongue builds himself up." So tongues edifies yourself. However, understand, when I say that tongues are for your personal edification, what I'm not talking about is that you speak in tongues because you just want to feel good, because you want to look important. It's not about you. It's about your personal edification so that you can go and glorify God. Okay, so even when you speak in tongues privately in your prayer closet or while you're reading your Bible alone in home, that is the Holy Spirit inside of you speaking as one with God the Father, and it is building you up. And there will oftentimes be just this feeling of the presence of God upon you when you do so. But listen, it's not happening so that you can feel good. It's happening so that you can more effectively advance the good news of Jesus Christ. When God does something powerfully in you, when he blesses you, we have this tendency to think that, oh, God blessed me today, or I experienced God today, and it's about time, God, because, you know, it's been a dry season for a while for me, and now I finally found it, and, whoa, I'm important now. But we're taught in Scripture, when we are blessed, it's not to hoard the blessing, but it's to give, it's to bless others. Us in North America, let me get off on a tangent for just one quick second. Us in North America are some of the most blessed people in the world. Even the most poor among us has more than people in the rest of the world. And we tend to think that it's all because of our ingenuity and it's all because of our luck and our goodness. And it's because, you know, we're a Christian nation. And so God has blessed us to show the world how much better we are than they are. But you know what? God has blessed us as North Americans, as people in the Western world, not so that we can get all high and mighty and say, look at us, we're blessed, but it's so that we can be a blessing to others. That wasn't in here. Spirit-filled people are Spirit-led and Spirit-empowered to advance. But who can be Spirit-filled? Are there limits to who can have the Spirit powerfully present within them? You know, is it one of those things where, for some reason, you know, if you're Baptist or you're Mennonite, you can't be filled, but, you know, if you're Pentecostal or Vineyard or, you know, if you're part of a Bethel church or something like that in Reading, then, oh my goodness, yeah, the Holy Spirit's going to come on you and fill you. Is that the way that it is? Not at all. Not at all. You see, all Christ followers can be Spirit-filled. There's not a one that can't be Spirit-filled. And for some, it'll be an immediate thing. I mean, you read in here, there's some people, and it's like they get saved. They accept Jesus. They give their lives to him. They get baptized in water, and the next thing you know, they're baptized in the Holy Spirit as well. Just bam, 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 done. But it doesn't always happen that way, does it? I'm not sure why it is, but and I'm not sure if there's maybe barriers that have been put up in our hearts or in our minds that keep us from fully opening ourselves to being filled with the Spirit. But what I do know is that the gifts of the Spirit, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and the power of the Holy Spirit is available to all Christians. That there's not some barrier between this person getting the Spirit and this person not, because, you know, this person's special and this person's not. It's not like that at all. See, when Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost to explain what was happening that day, he quoted the prophet Joel, and this is what he said. In the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, even on my male servants and female servants. In those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy, unless they're Presbyterian. Does it say that? No, it doesn't. It says all people, and they will prophesy, and I will show wonders in the heavens above and the signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day, and it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There is no barrier saying that if you think this way or if you think that way, that the baptism, the filling of the Holy Spirit is not for you. There's nothing saying that if you're a woman instead of a man, that it's not for you, because guess what? In Christ, men and women are equal. It is not that if you're from one nationality or of another nationality, that the Holy Spirit is not for you, because guess what? All nationalities in Christ Jesus are equal. And so the baptism of the Spirit is for all people, all who believe in the name of Jesus Christ and honor and worship him as master of their life. Spirit-filled people are Spirit-led and Spirit-empowered to advance. Are you still with me? Let me ask another question here. Is this something that sounds like it's something that, yeah, maybe as Christians we should want? Maybe as Christians we should, I want to have more of the Holy Spirit's power upon me, and maybe you're here and you've already experienced this. You've already experienced the power of the Spirit coming on your life. But maybe you're here and you're thinking, you know, I had that happen, and there was like this moment of great, just this feeling of love, or I spoke in tongues, or I prophesied, or something else. I just had this moment where I was like, wow, the Holy Spirit is on me here. But you know, I still prophesy it from time to time, but I don't have that courage that I used to have, or I don't have that boldness that I had that one time, or I don't feel like the Spirit's really leading me anymore, that there's power in me anymore. Can I share with you today that sometimes what happens is we have this experience and we think, that's it. I've reached the pinnacle, and then we go off and life begins to overwhelm us, and we do this thing and we do that thing, and slowly but and surely the Holy Spirit just kind of gets pushed into a back corner of our life. And his leading becomes less clear, and him speaking to us is less apparent, and that boldness that we were going in because we knew that the Spirit's presence was on us is suddenly not quite there anymore. But you know, the Apostle Paul, elsewhere, he writes that we must pray and be continually filled with the Spirit. Continually filled with the Spirit. And I think the reason for that is because we so easily just fill ourselves with other things. And we're people of limited capacity. You understand what I mean by that? Like, we're people. We're limited. And when you're filled with something, there, you know, the Holy Spirit fills you till you're overflowing, but eventually you start to drop more and more things in, and there's an object lesson in here. Go home and fill up a cup of water and take some bits of gravel and start to dump them in, see what happens to the water, right? The water's still there, but it's crowded out by all this other stuff, and I think that just sometimes we need to just keep pursuing. Perhaps you want to be filled with the Spirit for the first time because you want to be able to boldly just go and proclaim the name of Jesus in the world. It's an amazing, amazing thing for you to have on your heart right now. But I want to make clear that this is not something that you're doing because you want to be special or because you think that it's the next level in spirituality here or because you want to be better than others or see yourself as equal to others. Listen, whether or not you've been filled with the Spirit in God's eyes, you are the same as everyone else. He loves you the same as everyone else. This isn't about you seeking the next spiritual high. We are not spiritual drug addicts looking for the next emotional feeling that we can get. So if you truly want to have all the help that you can have in advancing the good news, then let me share with you today how you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to be upfront on this. I don't believe in putting God in a box. And I don't believe that there's a single formula where we say, you know, A plus B on my end means that God is absolutely going to decide that he's going to do this in this exact way that we see in this one time in Scripture, blah, 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 blah. Some people may be filled with the Holy Spirit while they're all alone at home or while they're on a walk in the wilderness. Some in the church, some will be at a big gathering. Some will have been filled after years and years and years of being on their knees and searching and asking, why not me, God? Some will be filled with the Spirit just by thinking a thought. Other times you'll be in a large group of the faithful and people that are seeking, and they may all receive the baptism of the Spirit, like on the day of Pentecost. But let me try to share a few things, some things that seem to be common threads through Scripture. First of all, is you must confess Jesus as master of your life. What I'm saying here is if you are not a follower of Jesus, you cannot expect to have the power of the Spirit upon you. So if you say, well, you know what, I'm not willing to give my life over to Jesus, and maybe I don't even believe in Jesus, but hey, if there's this power that I can have, then let's have it. You're not going to get it. Might get something else, but you're not going to get that. Number two, you must repent of all your sins. Now, what is repentance? What is sin? Sin is essentially us not measuring up to the standard that God created us to. It means that we don't obey God, that we don't do what he wanted us to do, or that we do what he told us not to do. It's that we stand in rebellion to God, or even that we just put something above God. Idolatry is really the root of all sin. Idolatry of self, idolatry of wealth, idolatry of success, whatever it may be. And what we have to do is we have to repent. Repent means is that we bring our sins before God and we say, God, I'm sorry of these things. They're wrong. I don't want to do them anymore. So Lord, I'm laying them at your feet today. Just take them and help me to not do these things anymore. And that is repentance. Third, you must be obedient. See, Jesus was obedient in going and getting baptized. The disciples were obedient by waiting where Jesus had told them until the Holy Spirit came upon them. And so obedience seems to be a common thread throughout many things, that if we're obedient as we seek. Number four is that you should be baptized in water. And listen, there's nothing wrong with seeking being filled with the Holy Spirit before you've been baptized in water. But if you've given your life to Jesus and you haven't been baptized in water, talk to me after service about this public declaration of faith in Jesus, that Jesus was baptized, the disciples were baptized throughout all of Scripture, all who believe in Jesus' name go and are baptized in water. And so we'd love to do that with you. But, you know, to me, it just seems like those that were baptized in the Holy Spirit were always baptized in water first. I don't read about it the other way around. And so it seems to me... Fifth, you must pray diligently. Every time that I see someone being filled with the Spirit here, there is prayer involved. Jesus came up out of the water after being baptized in water, and we're told that he began to pray, and as he was praying, the heavens opened, and the Holy Spirit came upon him as a dove, and God the Father spoke, the Trinity in action. The disciples were in the upper room, and they were praying together when the Holy Spirit came on them in power. You should pray in agreement with others. The disciples were praying together and they were agreeing together. They were in unison in their prayer. And you should ask another believer to lay on their hands on you and pray for you. Time and time again throughout Scripture, as the apostles went to different places and laid their hands on people and prayed for the baptism of the Spirit, it was then that these people received it. Now, like I say, none of these things may work. I don't know. All of them may. I guess number one will work. I mean, if you don't have number one, it's not going to happen. But other than that, it's a mystery to me. And I think that it's okay as believers to admit that these things can be a mystery, that we don't have to know everything. But what an experience it would be to become a church that is a community of believers that are Spirit-filled and Spirit-led and Spirit-empowered. And that's my hope for this church, is that we experience the power of the Spirit and that we walk in it daily. I want to see God working in us and through us. See, Jesus loves us so much, and we're here because we love Jesus in return, and because we love each other and we love our neighbors. And that love, it should push us to ask for the Holy Spirit ever more, because we exist as a church to reach the unchurched and disciple believers to be like Jesus. And the Spirit will give us the power to press forward into this mission and to see God move in our neighborhoods. Next week, we're going to continue in the book of Acts, and we're going to see these Spirit-filled believers and how they begin to live out their life of empowerment and how they advance the gospel to the uttermost parts of the world. But right now, here's a couple things that we can begin doing if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. First thing is, start asking Jesus to fill you with the Holy Spirit and to lead and empower you for ministry. Ask him to fill you up. Ask for new gifts like prophecy or words of knowledge or the gift of discernment. Ask for boldness and courage and wisdom. And secondly, as you become full of the Spirit and you begin following his leading, advance with the gospel of Jesus. I think too many times throughout history, Christians, believers have been filled with the Spirit and they've mistaken it for something that's just for them. And they waste it. But we see here that the Holy Spirit, the power of the Spirit is given to those who follow Jesus so that we can advance with the gospel. And so go out and share God's love with your neighbors and share Christ with them when the time is right. Will you pray with me today? God, I just thank you that we can come before you and that we can learn about this presence that you can have in us, Lord. Lord, I ask that there will be no misunderstanding today, God, in the things that I'm saying, that there will be no sense of being high and mighty or putting things below where they should be or putting things above where they should be in importance, Lord, but that we'll just understand that first things first is Jesus, that your Holy Spirit is really just kind of an icing on the cake, Lord. It's that power and presence for us to be able to be more effective in sharing your love with the world. Because we are your ambassadors. We are the people that are to share. And so help us in that, Lord God. Maybe you're here today and you've been seeking Jesus for a while and you've been trying to figure out what it's all about and wondering, like, am I really going to jump on board this thing? Am I ready for my life to actually change this much, to give everything to Jesus, to sacrifice everything that I once was and take that identity of Jesus on myself? And if you're here, I want to call you to a commitment today. If you're ready to come to a place where you want to accept Jesus as your Savior and as your Master and give your life to him, will you pray this prayer with me today? God, I know that I am a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequences of my sin. However, I'm trusting in your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Savior. I believe that his death and resurrection provided for my forgiveness. I trust in Jesus and Jesus alone as my Master and my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me and saving me. And help me to leave my old ways behind and to live as you would have me live from this time forward. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Abundant Springs Podcast. Tune in next week for more Bible-based encouragement.